Yeah. Now, for the last 3 weeks, we've been going over three of the Aseres HaDibros. First, the first one, then the second one, and last week, because of the Shaychus to Nosa, we dealt with Kibbut Avraham. So let's go to the third Dibro tonight. The Dibro of Lo Sisra Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav, Ki Lo Yenake Hashem. That's such a terrible Avera that the Ribbono Shel will not find it in his heart to forgive us. Now, what exactly does that mean? Lo Sisra Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav. It doesn't say La Sheker, it says La Shav. Now, Shuas Sheker is also, there's another Pasuk in the Torah, La Sishbu Bishmi La Shoker. But here in the Aseres HaDibros, we're dealing with a Shuas Shav. And what is a Shuas Shav? A Shuas Shav is a Shvur that doesn't do anything. Either because I'm swearing to the obvious, Al Eitz Shehu Eitz, I take a piece of wood and I say, I swear this is wood. I'm not convincing you in any way by using the word shvur, because you are convinced of the truth of what I'm saying without my saying it. You see that this wood is wood. Or, if I come along and I say, this wood is gold, I swear that this wood is gold, I'm also not convincing you of anything, because you know that it's not gold. So therefore the shvur is frivolous. It doesn't do a thing. That's a shvur shav, a useless shvur. A shvur that you're telling the truth, or you're telling a lie, but let's say I'll age through age, you're telling the truth. So what are you doing so bad? The answer is, because it's a frivolous shvur. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says in his Aseres HaDibros, I don't want you to make a frivolous shvur. Shvur sheker is where you're deceiving. That means you're talking about a fact, a proposition, which may be true and may not be true, and somehow the person to whom you're swearing is interested that it should be this or that, and you swear falsely. That's a shvur sheker. You've invoked the shvur to deceive somebody. That's a shvur sheker. By shvur shav, you haven't invoked the shvur to deceive somebody, because either you're saying eitz shehu eitz, which is true, but it's silly because everybody knows it, or you said Eitz Shehu Evan, and you haven't deceived him because he knows it's not Evan. So the emes is that when you start thinking about this Dibro, we should really be having a sort of a problem. If we were stopped in the street by somebody and asked, look, what do you think is a worse Avera, a Shua Sheker or a Shua Shav? I imagine that most of us intuitively would say that a shvur sheker is the worst avera. I'm deceiving somebody. I'm using the formula of a shvur. We'll see in a moment what that is. And I'm using that to deceive somebody. That's a terrible thing. But if I'm not deceiving him, okay, so I made a joke. I used it frivolously. So what? Big deal. I didn't do anything. I didn't deceive anybody. And even when I said, I'll age to Evan, he knew that it wasn't Evan, so I wasn't really deceiving him. So what's so terrible about that? So how do we, if we assume that in fact the shvur shav is less heinous than the shvur sheker, so how do we tell ourselves, or how do we explain to ourselves why this shvur shav should have made it into the Aseres HaDibros, but the shvur sheker should not have made it into the Aseres HaDibros? So that's a problem which we should ask, and Yitzhak Sherman, we've finished this shir, I hope we'll have an answer which appeals. Now, but before we go any further at all, we have to ask ourselves, what is a shvur? What exactly is a shvur? So you can ask that mitzat the loshen. What does the word shvur mean? What does it mean? Does it have a translation? So you say, yeah, it means an oath. So what's an oath? What exactly is a shvur? So the truth is that I always thought, while I was not able to explain it linguistically, I didn't understand why the word shvur should have this connotation, but I always thought that what a shvur is that I'm swearing, meaning that I'm asserting that this fact is as true as the Ribbono Shel Olam is true. you know, there's a machlokes in the Gemara, some of you learn the Dorim, right? And based on it, Alon the Ram brings the issue whether Shvua boy shame or whether Shvua is loy boy shame, whether you need to mention the Rebbein Shalom's name by a Shvua or not. And Stammer, even if you don't have to mention it, the reason is because the assumption is that the word itself implies the Rebbein Shalom's involvement. But what exactly does it mean? So I always thought it meant that this fact which I'm asserting is as true as the Rebbein Shalom is true. But then a bocher showed me a few years ago, we were learning the Dorim in Yeshiva, so a bocher showed me Tshuvas Radvaz, I think it's 17, where somebody asked him a shaila, if somebody says this is as true as the Rebbein Shalom is true, is that a shvua? So the Radvaz goes and says, Radvaz Shalom, you're not allowed to say that. That's a terrible, terrible, terrible avera to say that. You're saying that this is as true as the Rebbein Shalom is true. Nothing is as true as the Rebbein Shalom is true. Presumably he means the Rambam in the beginning of Yesodei Torah, where the Rambam says, Ein amitosoi kamitas echot behem. The amitus of the Rebbein Shalom is not as every other amitus is, because other truths are relative. The Rebbein Shalom's truth is absolute. Chas v'shalom, he says, it's a terrible avera, and you should give this person malchus if he does that. It's the most terrible thing to do. But obviously, if he holds that it's the most terrible thing to do, that can't be the pshat in a shvua. It's a mitzvah to make a shvua under many circumstances. The truth is that the chinuch uses such a lashon. That he's saying that just like the Rebbein Shalom is Kayem, this is Kayem. I think that the Chinuch is not really arguing with the Radvaz, because I don't know why the Radvaz was so upset. Because how did the Radvaz know that when a person who says this is as true as the Rebbein Shalom is true, how do we know that he meant the whole philosophy of the emes of the Rebbein Shalom, whether it's a relative emes, whether it's an absolute emes? He just meant, look, it's true, you Muslim, there's a Rebbein Shalom. Yeah, there's a Rebbein Shalom. As much as there's a Rebbein Shalom, this is true. I mean, it could be that the chinuch means that the chinuch, if the person would say a loshen, which would justify the Radvaz's assumption that he means this is as true as the Rebbein Shalom is true in all its philosophical implications, maybe the chinuch would have agreed that you're not allowed to do that. But what he means is, when a person says this is kayim like the Rebbein Shalom is kayim, he means in a much narrower sense. Look, the Rebbein Shalom is true. This is also true. I'll call upon him. That does not explain what the word shvua really means. And then there's another strange thing which we have to ask ourselves, that I think intuitively all of us would have assumed that the logic would be that the verb to swear should be an active verb. I swear, like it is in English. It's an active, it's not passive. In Lashon HaKodesh, it's always passive, it's always nifal. Ani nishba, nishbati vakayema, lishmo mishpatei tzedkecha. Nishbati, nifal. Anoichi ishoveya, nifal, not eshba. In the Kal, it would have been eshba. If it would have been the active, it would have been eshba. Ishoveya is in the nifal. So what does that mean? I am being sworn. What does that mean? I'm swearing. I'm making a shvua. So if I'm making a shvua, so why don't you use the active verb? And for this dragon, you have it in the passive. And that also needs explaining. So let's see what the word shvua might possibly mean. So Shamsa for Hirsch has a beautiful etymological analysis of the word shvua. That's in where is it? Vayera, I think. Then when Avraham and Avimelech get together, so you see over there the emphasis. What is the shayrish of the word shvua? The shayrish of the word shvua obviously is sheva, shin, beis, ayin. Now, is there a connection between the concept seven and the concept shvua? And the answer of Shamsa Valir says emphatically yes, because that's the whole pasha over there. When Avimelech comes to visit Avraham, so he puts aside Sheva Kvosim. So Mo Ele Sheva Kvosim or Ele Shesamtel Vadeno. What are these seven? He says, because I'm swearing to you. And then at the end, Vayiko Shema Mokom Hahu Be'er Sheva Kishom Nishbu Shneim. So you see that there's a relationship between seven and Shvua. Now, what does seven and Shvua have to do with one another? So Rav Shamsha Rehozer has a mahalach like this, because the number seven in our Torah Dikur concepts, seven is Shabbos. And Shabbos is the day which makes the Ribbono Shel Olam enter into our physical world. If there would have been an observer during the Sheshes Yimei Habriya, when the Sheshes Yimei Bereshis, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world in 6 days, so he would have seen a world where the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't function. Everything seems to be going by natural law. It's only with Shabbos, the seventh day, that the concept of the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Bria entered into the picture. When I say Ani Nishba, I am under the impression of seven, what that means is I know that the Ribbono Shel Olam is involved in this world. I know that all my property and everything that I have only on sufferance from the Ribbono Shel Olam. When I say I swear, when I say Ani Nishba, I am saying what I am saying under the impression of seven. What I'm saying is, knowing that all the things that I have only because the Ribbono Shel Olam grants them to me, well, I'm saying, let him take it away from me if what I'm saying is false. In other words, it's meramis to the oinish of the Shvua, that the Shvua is exposing yourself to the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam would take away the property which I have and which I treasure so much, that it's he who gives it to me, and it's he who can take it away. And if what I'm saying is false, let him take it away. That's the way Rav Shamsha has learned. Now, I had a little machshava that you could use his yesoid in a different way, because I don't like this concept of having the oinish already enter into the shvua. That's sort of reading into the word more than I think that the word yields. But I thought that using Rav Shamsha for his etymology, so then I think what it means is like this, that a shvua is literally, what is the translation Ani Nishba in the Nifal? You know what the translation is? I am B7. That's what the translation is. I am B7. Like Rav Shamsha Rehozer says, I am functioning over here, I'm speaking over here under the impression of what the word seven conveys to me, and that is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is down here with us in this world. And I think that what it means is, and I'm saying what I'm saying in full awareness that the Ribbono Shel Olam is over here and listening. That the Ribbono Shel Olam is listening. I know the Ribbono Shel Olam is listening, and I'm saying that. You'd better be sure that what I'm saying is true. And we have to understand that taka, kiloyenake, you think what a terrible thing that is. If a person makes a shvua and says, I know Hashem is there, and he makes a shvua shav, or shvua sheker, what he's saying is, I know that the Ribbono Shel Olam is there, and I don't care. It makes absolutely no difference to me. I do what I want. And if I want to swear that this AIDS is AIDS, knowing that it's frivolous, I don't care that the Ribbono Shel Olam is listening. That's a terrible, terrible avera. That's why Chazal say that Kol Olam Nizda Azeya, when he said the whole world trembled. You know, it's a very, very interesting thing. Every child, by us, Baruch Hashem, our children go to cheder, they go to yeshiva ketan, whatever it is. By 7, 8, 9 years, they know already Mishnayos. Everybody's learned that there's a din shvur, shneimers of betale, zenishva, that the psak din is made on the basis of the shvur that the bale din make. He swears ein lo b'poros mechetzi. He swears ein lo b'poros mechetzi. And we made a little yachloikum. So it suddenly struck me, does that exist in secular law? And I asked a law professor friend of mine, I asked him, is there ever in secular law, I know that they make the Adam swear, that they make them swear that they tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Is there such a thing as a psak din being based on the swearing of the litigants? Like the Gemara is full of that. So he said, no, ein kaze davar, doesn't exist. You know, it's a mayra de gezach. Why doesn't it exist? It's a very, very good system. The answer is because why should I say that he's telling the truth? Why is he afraid to say, I swear, by the ages also, by the testimony, it's also because if he's telling the truth, you can nab him for perjury. But not, there's no habamina that the shvua itself makes him say the emes. Aber Baruch Hashem, Rebbein Hashem likes his Yidden, and his Yidden are Yidden who are going to be nizah from a shvur. We all know that kol ha'olam nizdazea when the Rebbein Hashem l'asis Hashem Hashem l'akech al Hashem. We know what it means that if I make a statement and I affirm that I know that the Rebbein Hashem is standing there listening, anochi ish shoveya, I am besevened, and still I make the statement. On that basis, you can be make a psak then and give him the half and him the half, or by showing him to make him potter. Sure, that's a meigod gezach. It makes you good, makes you feel good to be a yid. That Baruch Hashem, we are part of that community whom the Rebbein Hashem trusts by believing our shruas. So now, once we've got that straight, so it seems to me that perhaps we have a kasha, teretz on the kasha which we asked. So why is the shruas shav in the aseres adibras and not the shruas sheker? We think that Shvur Sheker is more chomer, and if it's more chomer, so then it should make it into the Aser Zadibras. If only one of them can make it, but the Shvur Shav outside, the Shvur Sheker inside. Tell us this, first of all, why is it Taka Dibra? Because this is Taka, a constituent klal in a Mamlechus Koyanim V'Goy Kodesh. You know why Shvur exists, Kinderlich? Shvur exists because you walk around knowing the Rebbein Hashem is a real presence in your world, and that every word you say, the Rebbein Hashem is there listening. And you'd better be very, very careful that what you say is true and that what you say is not frivolous. For Mamleches Kayanim V'Goy Kodesh, that is a necessary part if you want to be that kind of a nation who can be described as a Mamleches Koyanim V'Goy Kodesh. You'd better know that the Rebbein Hashem is a constant presence in your life, and therefore be very careful about what you say. Oh, so once we say like that, so I hold it's Efshe Faket. You're right that the Shvuah Shav is more kuledik than the Shvuah Sheker. Sof kol sof, I'm not defrauding anybody. I'm not deceiving him. So it's taka less chomer, and because it's less chomer, it's in Aser HaDibros, because that's the chomer that the Torah is saying us. You know what? You want to be a mamleches koyanim v'goy kodesh. If you want to be a mamleches koyanim v'goy kodesh, then even your silly talk you have to curb, knowing that the Rebbein Hashem is there listening. Lie me, boy, that you're not allowed to make a shvur sheker. That doesn't show so much how chomer it is to be a yid, how chomer it is to be a mamleches koyanim v'goy kodesh. No, because deceiving is very, very bad. But even a shvur shav al eitz shvur eitz, you're not deceiving anybody. So on that it says lo yinakel, Rebbein Hashem won't forgive you. On that it says kol ha'olam nizdaazea, when the Rebbein Hashem said la'sis Hashem Hashem alakecho la'shav. What's so terrible about it? You know what's terrible about it? The Rebbein Hashem is there. And what you're speaking in the presence of the Rebbein Hashem. Kinderlech, that's not what you should do. And kol ha'olam nizdazea, and ki lo yinakeh Hashem. The flip side of that is that, oh, so if I go into Bezdin, and I'm a Shnaim Eisen Betalis, and I come along and say, Zen Nishba Sheinu B'Poros Mechetze, that I yawn and smile and give me my half talis. You know what? Because they believe me. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Shloya Sanigoy, Samayu de Gezach.